Shall we commence our service tonight with hymn number 290? Come with me, visit Calvary, where our Redeemer died. His blood, it fills the fountain, 'tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. 290, and we'll stand after the introduction and sing together. In God's presence, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our loving God and eternal Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We do thank thee, O God, that we're privileged to be here tonight in this house where the gospel is preached, the word of God is proclaimed. Our desire and prayer tonight is that thou wilt bless us with those spiritual blessings that thou hast promised to give to us. And we pray that we might know the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of God tonight, that we may be conscious that the Lord is here, that God is here and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. See the cloud already bending, waits to drop the grateful shower. Let it come. O Lord, we pray thee, let the showers of blessing for. We are waiting and expecting. Lord, revive the hearts of all. We pray for that gracious and that powerful moving of the Spirit of God tonight. We pray that thou wilt come even to this service, and we pray that thou wilt work through every aspect of it, through every detail that is part of this service. We pray that thou wilt be glorified, and we pray that someone listening to the message tonight, someone hearing the word tonight, will be brought to Christ. We pray for conviction of sin. We pray that thou wilt speak with that powerful voice tonight, and grant that souls will come and yield and turn and believe and be saved tonight. Oh God, we pray for salvation here in this place. Lord, we pray that not only here but across our land, in every city and town and village and country district, thou wilt move. We thank thee for the gospel still being preached right across this land, whether it's in a holiday Bible club in these past weeks, or whether it's been in a tent mission, or whether it's been in an open air service or drive-in services, whatever it's been, church services. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless, and oh God, that thou wilt work, and that thou wilt call a people unto thyself even tonight afresh. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt undertake, Lord, for those who are ill, those who cannot be with us, those who are suffering illness at this time. We pray for healing. We pray for restoration for all such. Those who have sorrow, comfort their hearts. Meet every need under every circumstance of life. And do answer prayer tonight, we pray. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning to the hymn, "Would You Be Free From Your Burden of Sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood." It's the hymn 286. It's on the screen. We'll stand again after the introduction and sing with our hearts unto the Lord. reading together from the Word of God tonight, from the book of Hebrews chapter 7. The book of Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse 19 to the end of the chapter. Hebrews 7 verse 19. And after we hear the reading of the Word, Brother James, the clerk of session, will come and give the necessary announcement. Hebrews 7:19 says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear, and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, inerrant, infallible word to all of our hearts.
We do give everyone a welcome tonight who is in the service, who are listening online. We do thank you for joining with us, and we do pray that we might know the Lord's presence and the blessing of God attending to the preaching of the Word of God. As you leave tonight, there will be baskets at the exit doors for your offerings. Could we just quickly go through the meetings of this week? Our prayer meeting, Bible study, has been changed to Monday night of this week, so tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in the main church building here, we will be having the prayer meeting. It will be the final prayer meeting that our own minister will be taking and speaking at, and so we do trust that you will join with us, have that fellowship together, and indeed do join with us in the place of prayer. 9:10, a reminder for all session and committee, a meeting with the Reverend Samuel Murray to meet with him. And we would appreciate, brethren, if you could all be in attendance. That will follow on immediately after the prayer meeting tomorrow night, 9:10 approximately. Friday night at 8 o'clock, the presbytery meeting in Armagh for the elders. So, brethren, again, please take note of that meeting, please. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, the Youth Council Rally in Uma for all our young people. And we trust that if you're able, you will attend that meeting held especially for you. Next Lord's Day, September the 4th, it will be the final services for our own minister. And we do pray that you will plan to be here and in attendance to say farewell to Mr. and Mrs. Smiley. 11 a.m. in the morning, the prayer meeting before the morning service. 11:30, the family worship service. Our own minister will be bringing the word in the morning, and the singers, Ballygowan Trio, Nessie, Susan and Joe, will be bringing messages in song at the morning service. 6 p.m, we would like the ladies and men, if they could come up early for preparation for the supper that we will be having after the evening service, There are a lot of things to do, so we trust that you can make it, and you will come up as soon as you can thereafter, please. 6:30, the season of prayer, prior to the evening service, up in the prayer room on the first floor. And then at 7 p.m. we will say our final farewell to the Reverend and Mrs. Smiley. The Reverend Murray, who has been appointed by the interim moderator, will be along to lead that meeting, and Mr. Smiley will bring his final message in the gospel. The singers on that occasion will be Natasha, Naomi, and the Reverend Greenfield, and they'll be bringing messages in song. Do plan to join with us for this special service, when tributes will be paid and then supper provided afterwards over in the church hall. Do remember as well that next Sunday is the Building Fund Sunday, and so do please to remember to give to the work of God as the Lord has prospered you. Just a couple of other announcements. Sunday school will be resuming on Sunday the 11th of September at 10 a.m. And then as soon as the other dates are known for the commencement of the rest of the works, once those dates have been finalised, we will advise you accordingly. Do remember the sick of the congregation, some in hospital and nursing homes, some in their own homes. And we do pray that you will continue to remember them, not able to be out in the church service as they would love to be. And do pray for them that the Lord's blessing and hand will be upon them in these days. Now, I know we said it this morning, but just to repeat it again regarding the retirement dinner on Wednesday night at Le Mans Hotel, Le Mans House Hotel. Arrival at the hotel is through the Ballygowan Suite entrance. As you look at the hotel from the car park, there are three entrances. You head over to the left. It will be marked. There's a large wooden porch that hangs over that entrance, so it will be easily identifiable. If you can plan to be there for 7:30 p.m. at the latest, to allow for seating and commencement at 8 p.m. sharp. There is a table plan in place, and notices will be in that reception area for you to look at and to inform you of your table number. And then when you get to the table, you'll see the place setting around the table where you will sit, and there will be little cards as well there to remind you what meals you have ordered. Sometimes in the rush we can say what we want, and then when the night comes, what was it I ordered? Well, that's all catered for, and so those cards will be in front of you. We asked you to remember this. We repeat it tonight. Please note that we cannot have people moving seat to another table. Because we've had to submit a kitchen plan to the hotel to assist with the serving of the meals at each table. So wherever your seat is, we ask you to remain there at the same table. There is an arranged programme, but after it finishes, opportunity to speak with the Reverend and Mrs. Smiley after these proceedings conclude will be an opportunity for you to speak with them. Thank you very much for your attention. That's all the announcements I have to make. Thank you, Mr. Smiley.
I thank James for his announcements. I'm going to try and sing a little piece to you tonight, and just before we sing another hymn. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding ever upward. This troubled world After the introduction and sing this hymn, and then we'll have the Lord's word tonight.
Thank you.
just clarify that tomorrow will be the final little meditation that I'll be doing on WhatsApp. Now, that I know people maybe have benefited, I trust, from that, but it'll not be done from now on as far as the church is concerned. But if you want it privately, just text me and I'll do it to you personally. And you can share it with others if you want, but it's not be done in our church WhatsApp after tomorrow. So you'll understand that, because by next Sunday night I'll be off the church WhatsApp and it's not my responsibility anymore. Mr. Murray and James will be managing that from then on. So you'll understand that. But if you want still the little meditations that we do once a week, do please just privately text me and ask me, and I'll be happy to do that. Seeing I have plenty of time into the future. But if you want that, that's okay. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, that thou wouldst meet with us and bless us. We pray that thou wilt empower us in the preaching of thy word tonight, and help us to make much of Christ. And we pray that some soul or souls tonight will come to the Savior as a result of this sermon. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, Christ's power to save. Christ's power to save. You'll find the text there in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The word of God declares in Isaiah 59 that his arm is not shortened that it cannot see, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And what power the Lord Jesus Christ has to stretch forth his hand and to save the vilest sinner. He can reach down to the lowest and lift up the sinner from the depths of sin. You think of that wonderful testimony in Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3 of David, where he said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and has set my feet upon a rock, and established my going, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And how many have been reached by the hand of divine mercy? How many have been rescued by the arm of divine grace? It reaches me, says the hymn writer. It reaches me. Wondrous grace, it reaches me. And this is one subject about which we can never know too much. The subject of Jesus Christ the Lord. What a mighty subject it is. And the text here unfolds to us Jesus Christ and his intercession. Here is a story without an end. There is no story deserving that title more than the everlasting gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is indeed and in truth the story without an end. There is an infinite fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is in him, my friends, unsearchable riches. There is in him love which passeth knowledge. He is God's unspeakable gift, said the Apostle Paul. There is no end to all of the riches that are treasured up in Christ, in his person, in his work, in his offices, in his words, in his deeds, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. And I want to emphasize to you tonight from this text, especially Christ's power to save. He is able to save them to the uttermost. There are three things that I want to major upon in this text tonight. First of all, there is the pathway. You will notice in our text it says,
Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Here is something simple and something beautiful and most true. Great is the contrast between the description given by the Holy Ghost of a Christian and the description which is given by man. With man, it is often enough to say that a person is a churchman or a churchwoman, that he or she belongs to a church, this church or that church or the other church. It is not so when the Holy Ghost draws the picture. The Holy Ghost describes the Christian as one who comes unto God by Christ. He comes unto God by Christ. This is the pathway of the true child of God. You see, true Christians come unto God. There are many in this world, and even tonight, and perhaps even you, who have turned your back upon him. You go in on your own way, on your own path. And of course, those who turn their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ are those that go to the far country, like the prodigal son. They are those who go out from the presence of God, like Cain. Those who are alienated, who are strangers in their mind by wicked works, Colossians 1:21. But thank God, you can be reconciled to God. You can be brought nigh to God. You can be brought into that living, vital, eternal relationship with God. You become a friend of God. And thank God, there is a path here for each person to travel. To come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That come unto God by him. The Christian is not as many who dislike everything that belongs to God. Dislike his word, his day, his ordinances, his people, his house. The very footprints of his steps are dear unto them. And to the Christian, to the true child of God, his name, the name of our Lord, is as ointment poured forth. Song of Solomon 1 verse 3. They are not as many who are content merely with coming to church or coming even to communion, but they come unto God by Jesus Christ. But more than this, true Christians come unto God in a certain peculiar way. They come by Christ, and that's the pathway. There's no other way, my friend. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you come that way tonight? Or have you sought to climb up another way? For you, it's some other way. You think you know better. But God says that you come unto God by him. That's the pathway. I suggest to you that this pathway is the old way. All who have ever been saved have drawn near to God by this way. From Abel, the first saint that entered into paradise, down to the last infant who died today, they have all come to God by Jesus Christ. It's the old way. You need to come that way tonight. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's the old way. It's God's way. That's the second. It's easy for the worldly wise to sneer and ridicule that, and they do. But all the wit and wisdom of man has never devised a way more perfect and more suitable to our wants that will bear us safely to heaven at the end. than this way. It has been to the Jew a stumbling block, to the Greek foolishness. But all who have ever known their hearts and understood what God demands have found the way made by Jesus Christ is the good way. It's the good way. Have you come that way tonight? There's no other way, my friend. There's no other way. It's the tried way. That's the third thing. Thousands and tens of thousands have walked in this way, and not one of that number have missed heaven. Apostles and prophets and patriarchs and martyrs and reformers and Puritans and men and women in every age, of every color and class of people have come this way. Oh, they've had their battles to fight. They've had their enemies to contend with. They have faced many difficulties and many challenges. They have had to carry the cross. They have had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. They have had to cross at last that cold, dark river. But they have walked safely through to the other side and entered into the celestial city and into the place of everlasting joy. This is the way. I urge you to walk in it tonight. Come this way, my dear friend. Come unto God by Him. It's the pathway you must travel if you're to get to heaven. Let there be no mistake as to the object which true ministers of the gospel have in view. We are not set apart merely to perform a certain round of ordinances. We are set apart for the grand purpose of proclaiming the one true and living way whereby you can get to heaven. That's what I must do, and that's what I have been doing all these years, my friend. Whereby you can leave your sin, turn your back on the world, flee from the wrath to come, escape hell, and enter into heaven. The only way of peace, the only way of pardon, is found in Jesus Christ. You will do two things tonight. You will either accept Him or reject Him. One of two things. Either accept Him or reject Him. Which will it be for you tonight? The pathway. And then I want you to think secondly about the person, because this text speaks of the work which our Lord Jesus Christ is ever doing on behalf of those who have truly come this pathway. It says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There is one great work which the Lord Jesus Christ has done and has finished completely, and that is the work of atonement. We spoke about that this morning. We spoke about it last Sunday evening. The finished work of the cross. That work of sacrifice. That work of substitution. It's the work that he did when he suffered. For sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He saw us ruined by the fall. A world of poor, lost, ruined sinners. He pitied us. He came into this world to suffer in our place, to save us. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. And he took our place and he shed his blood that we might be saved. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. But here's another great work which the Lord Jesus Christ is yet doing, and it's the work of intercession. He's our great intercessor. He carries it on in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is interceding on behalf of his people. I have a Savior who's pleading in glory, a dear, loving Savior. He's pleading for me. He is presenting on their behalf His all-sufficient sacrifice. His perfect sacrifice before the Father. As he prayed for Simon Peter, when Peter was upon this earth, he said, I have prayed for thee. That's what he said to Peter. And so, in a wonderful way, he's praying for his people. He's praying for you who are truly saved. He presents the names of his people before the Father in heaven. He carries their names, your name and my name. The names of the elect of God, those whom he hath chosen in Christ. He carries their name upon his heart, the very place of love. He carries them upon his shoulder, the very place of power. As the high priest in the Old Testament carried the names of all the tribes of Israel, from the least to the greatest. When he wore his robes of office, so our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, before God, he is interceding on behalf of every one of his elect people. Do you need a friend? Many there are who feel they stand alone tonight. Oftentimes you feel burdened and broken as a Christian. Maybe that's where you're at tonight. Even bleeding in the midst of life with the wounds that you feel in your situation tonight. Look to the right hand of the Father and see there the unfailing friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. He never fails, friend. He never disappoints. And maybe this week has been a hard week for you and a difficult week for you. Or maybe even today has been a hard day for you. But I want to tell you, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he's pleading for his saints before the throne. Do you need a priest? Who is that true priest? Where is the true confessional? There is only one true priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest. There is only one real confessional, the throne of grace, where the Lord Jesus Christ waits to receive those who come to unburden their hearts in his presence. Let us never lose sight of this mighty truth, friend. The intercession and priestly office of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know, a firm grasp of this truth is one great safeguard against the errors of the Church of Rome. Losing sight of this great truth is one principal reason why so many have fallen away from the faith. In some quarters have forsaken the creed of their present, of their Protestant forefathers. Have gone back even into the darkness of Rome. But once firmly established upon this mighty truth that we have a great high priest, an altar, we have a confessor, that we have an unfailing, never dying, ever living intercessor, we need turn to no one else, or we need turn to nowhere else. We need not seek any human priest upon earth. When we have the divine high priest living for us in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth this is, right? How it should bless your soul tonight as a Christian. Let us beware of regarding Christ only as one who died. Of course he died. It's absolutely essential. He died for our sins. Even that he was buried, of course he was buried. That he rose again, he ascended up on high. But now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's still living, and he ever liveth. And Christ sees us and hears us and knows us. He's acting on our behalf at the Father's right hand. What a glorious person we have in our great high priest. Do you know him? Is he your Savior? If he is your Savior, then he's your high priest. He's your intercessor in glory. What a comfort that is to every person here tonight who's truly saved. And then I want you to think not only about the pathway, and I want you to think about the person, but I want you to think finally about the power. He is able to save. That's what our text says. He's able to save to the uttermost. What words are these? The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And the worst of sinners can be saved. The most wicked persons in this world can be saved. It causes me to cringe many times, sometimes when I hear Christians say, oh, that person will never be saved. How do you know? How can you make that judgment? We don't know. Some people we may have thought would never be saved are saved tonight and rejoicing in God's salvation. I suppose there were those who thought Saul of Tarsus would never be saved, and yet God saved him on the Damascus Road. He was the chief of sinners, Christ Jesus, he said, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Look at that list there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 to 11. And there'll be people who will say, some of these people on this list, they'll not be saved. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. Look at the list. Look what it says here in this portion of God's word. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And listen to what Paul says. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The very people that were listed, some of them were washed, some of them were saved. A whole list of vile sinners, yet they were washed. That drunkard, don't lose heart about that drunkard friend or that person who's high on drugs and that person who's living an immoral life and that hater and despiser of God and that blasphemer of his word and that desecrator of his day. He is able to save them to the uttermost. Wasn't it Booth that said, from the guttermost to the uttermost? The guttermost to the uttermost. The vilest of them. And then the church-going religious people. Those who say their prayers and read their Bible and listen to sermons and pay into the church, he's able to save you tonight. And maybe you're numbered amongst the religious people and you're very respectful of church and very respectful of the Bible and of the things of God. And there are many people in Ulster in that category still to this day. Maybe even in this service tonight. But you're not saved. I knew a man very, very well. He was a great friend of mine. And he sat for years under my ministry when I was ministering in Belfast. He sang the hymns. He used to come to the open airs. Stood at the open airs. He followed the Bible reading. He took notes of the sermon. People took him for a saved man, but he wasn't. He was a religious man, but he wasn't saved. But one day he got saved. One day, Dr. Paisley, at the communion service, said, now you can't come to this table if you're not saved. And that man that morning, when he heard Dr. Paisley say those words, he was struck. And he got saved before the communion service. You see, the religious person can be saved. The atheist, the skeptic, he's able to save to the uttermost those who are utterly irreligious and anti-religion. And there are many people around today, but they can be gloriously and eternally saved. The blinded eyes can be opened. The deaf ears can be unstopped. The fetters of sin can be broken. You say tonight, preacher, my sin is too deep, too black for to be cleansed. No, my friend, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some sins, but all sin. Not most sins, but all sin. You say, my sin is as black as hell itself. My friend, there's no sin too black for the blood of Christ to cleanse. It can cleanse every sin. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. whatever your class, color, or creed may be tonight, wherever you are in this world, whatever your station in society is, he's able to see it. Read the story of Gypsy Smith, how God saved him. The gypsy boy, his father and sisters and brother got saved. He visited Bedford, John Bunyan's church, the house where he lived. He heard about this tinker who had come to Christ. He sat in the trunk of an old tree and he sought Jesus Christ. He went to the old primitive Methodist chapel in Fitzroy Street, Cambridge, and heard the Reverend George Warner. And it was there he received the full assurance of salvation. Gypsy Smith, gloriously saved. Maybe you've read the story of Lady Anne Erskine, that woman of the aristocracy of England, who came and heard the preacher preach, and heard him say that the devil is bargaining for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. What will the devil give? Jesus Christ wants to save the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. He gave his life that Lady Anne Erskine might be saved. And that day, at that moment, Lady Anne Erskine said, "I take Christ as my Savior and Lord." And she did. He is able, my friend, to deliver thee, though by sin oppressed. Go to him for rest. He's able to deliver thee. You may be at the end of the journey of life tonight. He's able to save you. You may not know you're at the end of the pilgrimage of life, but you could be. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You may never see tomorrow's dawn, my friend. But he's able to save you tonight, right now. You may know that you're near the end of your life's journey. Perhaps you've been told by a consultant or a doctor it's days, weeks, or months you have to live, but he's able to save you. Maybe you're listening to this service tonight and you recognize the time is short. He's able to save you. The dying thief was saved at the end of his life. He didn't attend communion. He wasn't baptized. But he trusted Christ. The dying thief rejoiced to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was gloriously saved. With God, all things are possible. He can save you tonight in this service, listening to God's word tonight. He can save you right now. Don't wait to the end of life. Come right now to Christ. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, the tremendous power of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in this text of Holy Scripture to save you tonight. Young person, older person, to save you from all your sins, to save your soul from hell. Will you let him save you tonight? Don't wait a moment longer. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Christ's power to save. May God tonight write the word of God, truth of the message, upon your heart. Save your soul tonight before you leave this place. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that tonight, if thou hast spoken to some soul tonight, we pray that they may come to Christ, that they may be saved tonight, that they may look to him and know his power to save their soul. We pray in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're singing the words of a closing hymn. "I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home, the paths of sin too long I've trod. Now
I'm coming home. I trust that you'll come home tonight, that you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Savior, and that you will make these words the prayer of your heart. 269, and it's on the screen. We'll stand and sing together. Thank you for listening tonight. If God has spoken to you, maybe just now in your heart, you're saying, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home now. I want to come. Will you come now in your heart? Will you cry unto God now in your heart and ask the Lord to save you now, to be your Savior tonight? I trust you will. And if you've done that, do please say to us, if you're in the meeting, let us know as you leave. Or if you're listening in, do make contact with us. It'll help you from God's word how you can know and be sure that you're a Christian. Father in heaven, apply the word to every waiting heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.